Rock 107 WIRX. Everything that rocks.
Yeah. At an effing rave at 6:34 in the morning. Got the glow sticks out, man.
Oh, yeah. Doing the circles and following the ball, man.
Oh, my God. It's my favorite thing to do, though. Whenever I hear techno music like this, I do the ball with my hands.
Yeah. You got to follow the crystal ball, man.
And then you got to pass the ball to your buddy. We used to do that. So stupid.
I got it. Here you go.
Here you go. No. Pass the ball, man. Pass the ball. Anyway, good morning, everybody. It is 6:35. We got to keep moving. It is time for your rock news and rock history.
Here's your Plan B morning show rock news with Brock and Hunter.
As always, your rock news and rock history brought to you by Advanced Import Repair. That's right, AIR, M139 in Benton Harbor. Breathe easy with AIR. Hold on. I was on the wrong page. Classic. There we go. Well, Dave Grohl says that when Nirvana was recording In Utero, their producer challenged them to a very high-stakes pool game. This is a really, really cool story from back in the Nirvana days. Just before the session started, Steve Albini told the band members that if one of them beat him in a game of pool, he'd do the album for free. Now, wow. If Albini won, Nirvana would have to double his fee. Grohl told Kerrang, quote, "We were paying him $100,000. Anyone who's got the stones to gamble something that large must be amazing." So everyone said no. Plus, he had his own stick. We didn't want to mess around with that. For his part,
I'm telling you, it's the guy with his own stick. Yeah. Hey, if you're out there and you're going to hustle somebody, don't bring your own stick.
No, exactly.
Don't, it gives it away.
You got a custom-made two-piece pool cue. No one's going to believe that you're not a good pool player. Albini says, quote, "I did that with every band I worked with, and no one ever took me up on the offer." Maybe Albini should take up poker. He said, quote, "It's not like I'm particularly good, a good pool player, but I have an equal chance of winning in a fair game. Ultimately, it wasn't going to make that much difference in my life if I got double that money for the session or work for free, but I guess Nirvana were a little more risk averse than I was." This could work two ways, all right? Because most people are going to see you with this custom two-piece pool cue, and they're going to be like, "Well, no, there's no way we can beat this guy, right? There's no way." So if you could work it out, and you could actually be terrible at pool, but if you play it off right, you know, you could maybe win some stuff or at least get out of some things by saying, "Yeah, I'm a really great pool player," or at least have people think you're a really great pool player. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know? Would you have played him?
No. $100,000, that's a lot of cheese, man. Even at that point, even one they made In Utero, I mean, yeah, they were doing well, but it's not like $100,000 at that point is still a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Dude, there was one night, this is probably 10 years ago, went down to the sandbar with some buddies, and there were some other buddies there that we knew that were playing pool. It's one kid, cool guy. Great guy. I've known him forever.
Yeah.
Brand new stick. He's like, "Dude, check this stick out. It's awesome." It was. It was a nice stick.
Yeah.
And we end up playing him. And I'm like, "Hey, man, can I use that stick?" He's like, "Yeah, of course." And so I hit a few shots and, like, to kind of scare him or whatever, I, like, "Oh, F this stick." And I, like, went to go snap it over my knee, you know, pretend I was going to snap it. Dude, I did.
You actually snapped it?
I actually snapped it. Dude, I didn't mean to, but I kind of followed through too much. Wham! Snapped it over my knee, and like it was one of those moments where like the whole bar got quiet.
You're a real,
you know, like everybody was staring at me, dude. I'm like, I didn't know what to do. He's a big dude too, and he can kick ass. I thought he was gonna beat the hell out of me, but he was cool about it. Yeah.
It was an accident. He was supposed to pinch my leg if he was running short on air. Is that how you were like? God.
Dude, it was so bad. Because everybody, like, looked at me, and then they all looked at him like, "Is this going to happen?"
Yeah. All right.
I'm like, "Please, God, don't beat my face up."
You're going to end up being stabbed with both ends of that pool cue. All
right.
Yeah, right through the middle of you. Oh, man, that's funny. Well, yeah. Well, all right. Well, mind me never to lend you my pool cue ever.
No, don't ever do that. You're right. It'll be snapped over a knee.
Oh, God. All right. Well, there you go. That is your rock news. Let's do your rock history.
On this day in rock history.
On this day in rock history, 1968, Faith No More vocalist Mike Patton was born in Eureka, California. I love me some
Eureka.
Faith No More. Faith No More is kind of that a weird story with them because they had success with Mike, but they also had success. And I cannot remember the other cat's name. It's driving me nuts. But it's weird because they had their main success with Mike, but then they had the other guy longer who came in. I don't know. It's one of those weird kind of transitions with the band. And obviously Epic, everyone knows, and was really ahead of its time when it comes to kind of the way the music was put together. I don't know. It's just, if you ever get a chance, there's a really good documentary out there. I believe it's called Epic, but it's about Faith No More, and it's really good. It's a really good music documentary, so check it out.
Yeah, as long as there's a band. I like that band. It's a great band.
Good stuff. All right. That is your rock news and rock history brought to you by AIR Advanced Import Repair. We'll be back with more WIRX.